This is my reality. Blessing him in all truth.
Glory to God.
We can talk to you.
We are not just sitting down and write what you, we can write down stuff. We are not just sitting down and write down stuff.
This is my reality.
Don't fall to the ground, okay? Our words don't fall to the ground. 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 Our words does not come back to us without achieving what why it's sent. Your life will take shape by prophecy. Your life will take shape by prophecy. Your life will take shape by prophecy. Come on, bless by God. Bless as God we bless. Bless as God. Bless by God. Bless as God. Bless by God. Bless as God we bless. Bless by God. Bless as God. Service of the saints. You find joy in the service of the saints. Okay, everybody come to your seats. Round up, come to your seats. We continue later. Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, see how people that you are not done with. When you get to your seats, what you see want to tell who, int it down so you remember after service. You continue. Man of the Spirit. We are men of the Spirit. Our lives are not patterned after human reasoning. Prophecy shapes our life. Yeah, it shapes the course for our life. Pick your Bible as you are standing. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 12. I'm going to read this loud, very loud. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Okay, are you there? 1, 2, go. Yes. Oh, that's not the volume I'm looking for. Verse 12 again. 1, 2, go. Again. 1, 2, go. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, after me, say I'm a man of honor. Say I'm grateful for the scriptures. It makes comprehension possible. Say I'm grateful for the scriptures. Come on, say I'm grateful for the scriptures. Say it makes comprehension possible. Say I'm grateful for the ministry gifts. It makes comprehension quicker. Say I'm grateful for the ministry gifts. Come on. Say they make comprehension quicker. Say, I'm grateful for the church of God. They make practice easier. Say, I'm grateful for the church of God. Say, I'm grateful for believers. Say, they make the practice of the things of the Spirit easier. Glory to God. Hey, thank you. Be seated, everybody. Thank you. So if you see that verse 12, he said, thank you, Brother Michael. He said, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. So what are the things that are given to us of the Spirit? We know that the Holy Scripture is given to us of the Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 is given to us by the Spirit. We know that ministry gift is given to us by the Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 11, verse 10, 11, by the same Spirit we have ministry gift. By the same Spirit we also have a body of believers with which we practice together. These are all offshoots of the Spirit. Offshoot of the Spirit. See, I'm grateful for the scriptures. See, I'm grateful for leaders that teach me. See, I'm grateful for believers that we practice together. Hallelujah. So you can see God gave you a manual scriptures. He gave you director's ministry gift, and he gave you a platform for practice, believers. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. See, I take positive advantage. See, I take positive advantage of all God has made available to me. See, I take positive advantage of all God has made available to me. Okay, thank you. Back to 2 Timothy 3:15.
Okay, and that from a child that has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 16 now says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We see the continuing on utterance gifts and throughout this week. So prepare again to bless one another tomorrow, next tomorrow, prepare to bless. So please, look at that verse 16 again. See, you cannot separate it, okay? You cannot separate this reproof, correction, instruction. You can't separate it. You can't choose the one you are looking for. No, it's just not possible. So, like I said, you cannot say, okay, I want the doctrine, I don't want the correction, or I want the instruction, I don't want the reproof. No, you can't select. We don't have such license to select what we are specifically looking for. No, a believer does not do that. A believer is not that selective. A believer hugs all the will of God. For instance, God cannot help a man that detests or run away from correction. How will God help you? Come on. If you detest or you run away from correction, God will not be able to help you. See, I embrace. Say, I embrace the whole counsel of God. Say, I embrace.
Say, I embraced the whole counsel of God.
Yeah, so you cannot select one, say, that's for me. No. See, God is looking for a man to love. It's the same as God is looking for a man to correct. When we say God is looking for a man to love, it's the same as saying God is looking for a man to correct. Because whom the Father loveth, he corrects. According to Hebrews 12. So, of course, we have learned this before. The universal man is not used to God's will at all. It's not. The universal man. Man by default is not used to God's will. So influences around are more negative than positive. That's the issue. The universal man is not used to God's will. The influences that man will find around, they are more negative than positive. They are more of negative. Just write this down. God's will is not norm for the flesh. It's not normal. Nobody is used to it. God's will is not known for the flesh. Sorry, let me say, most people are not used to it. We have all operated more in the flesh than the spirit. That's the issue. That's why when you now encounter God's word, there will be so much of correction. We have all operated more in the flesh than in the spirit. That is clear. That is a clear statement. The natural man has operated more in the flesh than in the spirit. So God's will is not known for the flesh. Hence, there will be correction when you encounter God. There will be correction. In prophecy, there will be correction. So, and the issue is that you can never attain God's destination man's way. It can't happen. That God's destination, you cannot attain it in man's way. It's just not possible. That God's destination, you cannot attain it in man's way. Not possible. For instance, let's take a look at this gospel that saved us again. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Look at this gospel message that saves man forever. It's not after man's reasoning. It's not after man's intellect. It makes no sense to the intelligence. You believe an event that happened when you are not there, and God says, yes, that is salvation. An event that happened when you are not there, and God says, that is salvation. It doesn't make sense. How reasonable to the human mind is that? Yet that is the power of God. Yet that is all God has for man. Something, an event that happened when you are not even there. 1 Corinthians 1:18. An event that happened in your absence. An event it didn't even happen in your country. It happened miles away, years ago. Yet God said that is where his power lies. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross, open your Bible, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. To them that perish, it is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So, now look at that. Look at that. He's saying the same scripture that is foolishness to some people is the power of God to some people. That's a lot. That means when you disdain God's will, your foolishness will multiply. Okay. When you disdain God's will, that foolishness, that your foolishness will just multiply. But when you accept it, it becomes the power of God. Yeah. When you accept it, it becomes the power of God. Same message that pounds that is foolishness to some people. Is the power of God to some people. Same message. Why? Value, faith, trust. Value, faith, trust. Value, faith, trust. And the same goes for the things as touching healings too. Value, faith, trust. Value, faith, trust. Value, faith, trust. That's why we are teaching this so much in our midst here. So you are not down and we have to go and phone Benny Hinn to come and pray for you. If that is the only person you value, you trust. See verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. I told you guys to always revise your... How many people are able to revise what you study on Sunday? You have time to... Let me see your hand. Awesome. Thank you. Always do that. For I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Wow. Ooh, look at that statement. How? Why would God say, I will destroy the wisdom of some people? It's not directly, it is by the message. By the message that will not make sense. That's the issue. By the same message, by that message that will not make sense to the wise and the prudent. So this is a foreknowledge of man in prophecy. It's a foreknowledge. It's foreknowing man is like the prophets, the prophecy. It knew that man will still act this way because man has done that before. So that is just a foreknowledge of man in prophecy. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Because the wise men in their days, they detest God's means of justification. So when the real event will happen, the prophets say, don't worry, they have done it now, they will still do it sometime to come. So that's prophetic. That's how prophecy speaks. Anyway, that's just Bible interpretation for you. Verse 20 now, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the what? Foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Please, foolishness of preaching there is like a figure of speech. That is like irony. That's putting two different things together. It's like what you call foolish, I will by that means save them that believe. It's not God that is calling it foolish. It's man. It's the natural man. It's the unbeliever that is saying, this is God's wisdom. This is foolishness. And God is saying, okay, don't worry now. That thing you call foolish, by it, I will save a million men. I will save a billion men. I will save 30 billion men. I will save 5 billion men. Amen. Praise God. Amen. By that same thing you call foolish. To save them that believe. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. See that? The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. That's serious. Same signs that was intended for faith became a reason for more unbelief. Same signs and wonders, same miracles that is intended for faith, they now became a reason for more unbelief. That's for the Jews. And the Greeks, they seek after wisdom, after science. Science. They want to experiment God's will. Where is the proof that there is God? So you are saved. What is the proof of your salvation? Show me your God. Show me the thing. Show me the eternal life. Let me cut as Christian. Show me the eternal life inside. Is it in the heart or in the liver or in the edoforo or in where is it? Show me the internal life. Hallelujah. Some people say, if God wants to use me, he will appear to me the same way he appeared to Paul. Just using man's calculation to disdain God's will. See verse 23. Let's read 23 together. One to go. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. 24. But unto them we shall call, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the what? You can see, so those who believe does not call the wisdom of God foolishness, right? They don't call the word of God foolishness. So he said, unto them that believe, Christ is not foolishness, he is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. To them that believe, Christ is not weak, he is the power of God. Amen, amen. That is the death of Christ that people call foolishness, that people call weakness. To you that believe, to you, it is power. How God saves man, which the Greeks calls foolishness, to you that you believe, what do you call it? Wisdom of God. Amen, amen. Are you with me? We call it wisdom of God. That is we that believe. Say we that believe. Say we that believe. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Figure of speech. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many mighty men after the flesh, nor many mighty, nor many noble are called. It has been like this from ages past. I didn't think this will change. There is something about earthly intelligence and earthly wealth that blinds men from the reality of God. There is something just about that earthly wisdom, earthly intelligence, earthly wealth, that it will just seek to blind some people from comprehending God's word and giving themselves to his will. That's why Paul will tell Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, to be
high-minded is to be is just not to be God-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, when the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So it's just, it has been numb. The mighty, the noble. Why are they not called? It's not God's fault. But there is something that earthly egg does to man. Something. Ask some people, can I come to your church? I don't think you guys, you don't have security in your parking space. That's where I will park my car. Can't you trek to the church? Let's leave that. Okay, C27, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the what? Weak things of this world to what? Confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, are God choosing. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? 29, want to go, guys? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30, want to go? But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom. Unto us what? Righteousness. Unto us sanctification. And say it makes sense to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say it makes sense to me. No, this is foolishness to the natural man. Okay, the natural man will say, this is foolishness. How can you say a man died and then you are saved? Come on, let's walk for the salvation. Let's do it. Let's live right. Let's and then we'll be saved. No. And verse 31, that according as it is written, yes, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Say, I glory in the Lord. Glory. Say, no confidence in the flesh. Yeah, say, Christ is all to us. So Romans 8, verse 1. So to walk in man's calculation is to reject God's will. Write that down. To walk in man's calculation, after man's calculation, will be to reject God's will. Walk after your reasoning, after your intellect, it will be to reject God's will. I will explain with Romans chapter 8. To walk in man's calculation is to reject God's will. See Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Please, anywhere you see flesh in this chapter, call the flesh man's will, call the Spirit God's will. The flesh, call it man's will. Call the Spirit, call it God's will. You walk not after the flesh. You walk after the Spirit. Spirit there does not mean the Holy Ghost or always the recreated human spirit always. It's actually talking about God's will versus man's will. For instance, condemnation is the result of man's analysis of God's justification. That's what you can see in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The people in Christ Jesus, well, although this one is an addition, but they walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. I said condemnation is the result of man's analysis of God's justification. That's where condemnation comes from. When you are using your brain, your mind, your intelligence, your works, your doing, your labor, your toil, to analyze, okay, to attain unto God's grace, to analyze God's justification. So, condemnation is not God's will. See verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So, liberty is what we have in Christ. You are free to serve God. You are free to be sons of God. You are free to get better. You are free. You are not condemned. You are not restrained. You are free. You are free. At times, you get to the place of prophecy, get to the place to practice the things of the Spirit, and you are just thinking about, oh, I have not prayed today. Oh, I ate too much before service. Oh, I did this. You are allowing, you are reasoning out God's will. That's the issue. You are reasoning out. That's not how it works. Say, I glory in the Lord. Yeah, so you must, in the place of ministry, you must quickly remind yourself, where is your confidence? I remember a man of God that said that well, there was a time that anytime he's driving through Lagos, that God always tell him, take right, take left, take here, and don't take care, there's good up here. Say, God always lead him. But there was now a time that he committed one sin, saying immediately God stopped speaking to him, that he now started entering old up. He said, and the thing happened for maybe months or years before God now restored
his voice.
That is condemnation.
Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Oh God, you don't understand. The righteous is as bold as a lion. Amen, amen. Is a lion bold because he's right? Why is he bold? He's born bold. Amen, amen. He's just bold. Say in the place of ministry,
I am just bold.
Some of you, the way you are still answering me is, I will throw something to somebody. Say, I am just bold. That's the last time to think about cock and book story, Tom and Jerry, what else? Praise God. Verse 3, for what the law could not do. Awesome. In that it was weak through the flesh, through man's reasoning. God sending his own flesh in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So, Paul is saying, when you reason out the law with the flesh, when you reason, let me explain to you, that the righteousness of the law, of the same law, that law that is condemned to people, the righteousness of law might be fulfilled in us who what walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So, to walk after the flesh is when you are trusting man's will, you are trusting your intellect. When you mix man's intellect with God's word, it becomes condemnation. When you reason out the law, which is the scriptures, with the flesh, with man's will, with a performance mindset, you just make a shipwreck of your faith. So when you reason out the law with the flesh, with man's will, with a performance mindset, that sonship you seek, you will not get. That sonship that you seek, you will not get. The Lord told him, say you search the scripture, and in them you think you have eternal life. You don't know that these things, they are about me. So you will end up being condemned. Not God condemned, but self-condemned. Self-condemned. When you are reasoning out, for people will say, I will, so you say, stretch out right now. I'm going to bless you. The power of God will come upon you. And that sickness will be gone. The power of God will come upon you. And this will happen. I will speak into your life. And you will say, why? How? Just like that. So, from the same way you became saved by trusting God's righteousness, by trusting what God has done, by trusting God's will, by trusting Christ, because Christ is God's will. That is how you continue. Romans 8 is talking about your salvation. See verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit do mind the what? The things of the spirit. Verse 6, want to go? For to be carnally minded is what? Is death. You see, now he's saying flesh is called what? No, flesh is called what? Carnally. Why is flesh? Carnally what? Minded. Carnally minded. Performance minded. Reasoning minded. Carnally minded. Say is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See verse 7. Because the carnal mind, reasoning, intellect, I am wise. I'm saying, what is this man saying? I'm just one. No, this is not how I have learned it. This is not how my grandmother told me. I'm not serious. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. Carnal mind. For it is not subject to the word law, but neither indeed can be. Verse 8 wants to go. So then, they that are aware in the flesh, what happened? Cannot please God. That's the point. You can't please God by calculation. You cannot get better in the things of the spirit by mental calculation. By mental analysis. How shall this thing be? You can't get better that way. Oh, I am already old. Oh, it's time up. Man's reasoning. You see it all over. He told Abraham. Abraham said, no, let Ishmael live before you. I'm too old for this. He told Isaac Gideon. He said, you guys say the same thing. Say, my family is the least. Woman reasoning. And now I see a few of you like that in this church that you just everything is just about I think. Is that God's will? Stick with God's will. Say, I'm not carnally minded. It's not so. We don't come here trying to think
think. Like, I don't form someone by trying to think, how can I get them, which angle? No. It's just trust God. All of ministry, trust God. It's a calculation. What can I do to prevent this from leaving this church? What higher? No. Amen. Yeah, we
are in verse 9.
So I said there is verse 8, right? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So there is man's will and God's will. We daily fight between these two choices. There is a daily war between these two. Carnal mind, carnal reasoning of the divine will. So, ministers, even in ministry, you must daily check yourself. If you are not doing it with just mental calculation. If you are not doing it with mental calculation, you must check it in ministry. Carnal reasoning of divine will.
My wife told me that there was some people that want to say they want to go to the magazine. Maybe they actually did it, and they said, the woman said, don't worry. She just brought one, almost a brand new Honda Odyssey. They just park it close to where they want to preach. So as you stay beside the car, people are looking at you, wow. And it's not a place like Lagos, maybe it's a place like a bit interior. So, wow. The man said, don't worry, the God that did this for me, what will you do? He will do the same thing for you. So that's the trigger of what? Evangelism. What happens the day they now see a Bentley? Carnal reasoning of divine will. Say ministry, say we trust God. Say no mental calculation. Thank you. And see verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. Praise God. Come on, praise God. Say, I am not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, what happened? He is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the spirit is life because of righteousness. Of course, this has been done. Say, I am dead to sin. Say, I am alive to God. Say, this is my status. You know, see in verse 11, now, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that means if you are born again, which you are, and the spirit of God dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Say, immortality is sure.
Immortality.
Come on, say, immortality is sure.
Immortality.
Now, he's not saying verse 12. Now, pay attention. Therefore, brethren, based on this, please, before Paul will give you any instruction, pay attention. He will be giving you an instruction based on something that cannot change. Paul will give you an instruction based on a standing order, based on something that cannot change. So because your salvation is sure, your immortality is sure, now say, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. That means we are configured in God's will, to walk in God's will.
Well done. I know you are trying to keep up.
You are configured to walk in God's will. You are configured. Because immortality is sure, because salvation is sure, because everything is sure. Therefore, because it's like you are be given the trophy. You just see it like there's, you are about to play your UEFA and from the day one of the competition, they said that the winner is Middlesbrough. So they came to give them the trophy. Are you getting this? Now say, okay, since you have the trophy already, work to labor to get to the final. Are you getting this? I hope you know it doesn't make sense. Again, that's God. Glory! That's God. That's how a spiritual man sees God's word. By the time you use your brain just gets somewhere. Brain just hook. Maybe brain hooks. What do? Glory to God. Stop them. But the atheists will not get there. You're not asking questions. Why now? How will Jesus
be 3 days and three nights in grave, and you say it went well. No, the atheist now start asking questions. But when you get to a full stop, what do you do? Opel is a miracle. Praise God. Praise God. Guess what? That's how you accept you. If you have goggled everything too much, goggle, you just rise from there. Go and goggle it when you get to. Don't try it. Amen. You see the answer. You won't come for next service. A lie.
So what am I saying? You are given, because you are given the trophy. So why is this saying you are debtors? You have they have celebrated you as the winner of the competition before it started. So therefore, you are what? A debtor to play through all the matches. Praise God. So why do we risk our life at times, risk our health, risk everything to go and preach to people? We know this thing is sure. So we are not trying to. So our labor is not to make heaven. No, our labor is not to be accepted by God. We are running from the finish line. Praise God. Glory to God. Some people are too dull today. Amen. You want to do my head, my shoulder, my name at all. Not in this church. You are laboring from the finish line. You got the trophy before the tournament starts. Think about that. How crazy. That's our God. So because of that, you are now indebted because they have your name as the place. Final is Middlesbrough versus whoever. So your job is now to ensure you just play to meet up. Hope you know the meaning of that. That means if a game is going on, maybe the second round is knockout, and somebody has won you 9-0. At the last minute, something will just happen. You just call 11 goals. Glory! Yeah. I said you have the victory before the fight. Amen. Yeah. So that means it's 90 minutes. Somebody is already beating you 5-0. Don't worry. Don't worry. We have won already. Something will just happen. The ball will just fly by the presence of the power of the air. And Avengers, all of them will just come to the... Avengers, all of them will just come to aid you. And everything else will just kick. 5 goals. 5-4. Simple. You won. Say, I always win. Say, my job is to find myself in each match. Say, my job is to show myself in each match. That's your match. I'm sorry, that's your job. Just show yourself. Be present. Just come and mark attendance. Amen, amen. In ministry, mark your attendance. Just go and do it. That thing calling making heaven, don't think about it. It's not for you to think about. Somebody taught it. God has been thinking about it before the heaven and earth has been created. God has been thinking about your making heaven. So, God has done the warning. Amen, amen. Praise God. Amen. He did the warning. You have the benefits. So, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. So, we are configured to walk in God's will. Because you have reached the destination before you did anything. That's the point. You are configured now. You are configured. You are configured to walk in God's will. Because you have reached the destination before you did anything. In fact, if you didn't come to the football pitch, they will still declare you winner. Something will just happen. Don't worry, they still won. Hallelujah. I said you're already in the final. You have taken the cup is in Nigeria and you went to England to play. The cup is home. Praise God. Yeah. So please write this down. We started in God's will, we continue in God's will. Simple. We started by trusting God, we continue by trusting God. We started in the Spirit, we are to continue in the Spirit. In God's will, then we continue in God's will. We started by trusting God, we continue by trusting God. We started in the Spirit, and we are to continue in the Spirit. Now, verse 13, which I've explained a couple of times before. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. I've explained this so much. It's why it should be God's action. So a man that refuses, write this down, this the expansion of verse 13. A man that refuses to start in God's will encounters death in life. Death. That means he does not receive eternal life. A man that refuses to start in God's will encounters death in life. Also, the man that refuses to continue in God's will encounters death in ministry. Because if you see the word used in 13 here, it say for as you we have analyzed before that year, it's not a Greek word on its own. It's like for as many as live after. It's a general statement that living after the flesh kills, living after the spirit saves. Okay? So, for instance, how will an unbeliever live after the flesh? He rejects the gospel. Okay? How will an unbeliever live after the spirit? He accepts the gospel. Okay? He becomes saved. Now, how will a believer walk in the flesh? He rejects God's will, although he is saved. Such person will encounter what? Death in what? Ministry. But how will a believer walk in the spirit? How will he walk in the spirit? Yes, he gives himself to God's will, therefore he profits in ministry.
Sorry, I know that's a long explanation, but I believe you should get that, right?
Okay, I don't understand. Let me see your
hands. I'm here.
Feel free. Come on.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Awesome.
Okay. See 13 again. I don't want to go into Greek right now. So that in the Greek, in the Greek, that's you. Look at verse 13. For if you, that ye is not there in the Greek. It's like a general statement. It's like saying, see, if you take Kubwa Express, you will get to Suleja. Or anyone that takes Kubwa Express gets to what? Suleja. Simple. So there are two things. Take Kubwa Express, you get to Suleja. If you take Buhari Express, you will not get to Suleja. Are you getting it? So, we have been doing a dichotomy since between flesh and what? Spirit. And I told you that flesh is what? Man's will. Spirit is what? God's will. Now, he used a word there called death. That word is scary. So, you must understand it clearly. So, how will a... For instance, you now ask yourself, if this verse is talking about a believer, how will a believer die? Okay, that's the question. In what way can a believer still die? Then, but if he's an unbeliever, of course, he is dead. So, if you understand flesh as man's will, okay, spirit as God's will, okay, then walking in the flesh is to accept for your unbeliever, walking in the flesh is to reject the will of God at what? Salvation. But for a believer, walking in the flesh, okay, is to reject the will of God as touching spiritual growth. For instance, we have plenty of people that are saved out there, but they are not here. You have plenty of people that they are saved, but they are not giving themselves to the work of the ministry. Such people, they will encounter death in ministry. Let me explain further. See Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3.
I think I explained it better sometimes ago.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 1.
This one is funny. Let me know when you are there.
Revelation 3, verse 1. Okay, 1 to go, yes. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, this thing said he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. One, let's read, yes. Now, I know thy words, that thou art a name, that thou livest, and that what? Are dead. He is talking to the church, you. Praise God. He's not to unbelievers, but this is to believers. He says you have a name that you live, but you are, my guy, you are dead. You are dead. So, he's not saying their spirits are dead. He's saying their conducts, their works are dead. They are walking in the flesh. Verse 2, 1 to go. Be watchful and strengthen the things. Can you see now the things which remain that are ready to die? Imagine. So, what is dead there? Can you see verse 2? The things. Can you see the things in verse 2? The things which remain. So, what was dead in verse 1? The things, okay? Not them. So, say that are ready to die, for I have not found your words now, thy works. Say works. So, what is dead in verse 1? The things, or what? Is that clear? Again, what is dead in verse 1? The things, right? Or what? Or their works. Now, verse 3, want to go, verse 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. Say hold fast. Some of their issue is that they are not holding fast. And repent. If therefore thou will not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. See verse 14, which you should be aware of also. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, this thing said
the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither what? Cold, you are not hot. That's very funny. I wonder that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm. Anyway, there is a story behind this, which later. And neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Spew what? Who is it did there? Them or their works too? These their works. Because thou sayest, see, you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not thou that thou art what? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. Is that not death? Come on. So, false doctrine is walking in the flesh. Write that down. False doctrine is walking in the flesh. To preach false doctrine is to walk in the flesh. Is man trying to reason out God's will? Trying to reason out God's will. 18, now say, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shames of your nakedness do not appear, and to anoint thy eyes with tirrhoe, eye slave, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chastise. Be zealous, therefore, and what? And repent. And behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him and eat with me. For a long time, we have all quote verse 20 for salvation. But not for salvation. It's also for what? For me, for let's call it for repentance. It's for repentance. It's for repentance. So I think it can apply. You can use it particularly for the unsaved man. But the context here is talking to a man that is born again. And he's telling him to repent from saying that I am rich, I have need for them, nothing, I am wealthy, and that is my boast in God. That's serious. Thank you. See, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14. He was looking at death. The first 1 Corinthians 3, 14. So when your work born, is death too in the ministry. When your work's born, is death in ministry. So if any man works abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. 15. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. Are you not there? You're not there. Come on. Okay. 14 and 15 again. 1 Corinthians 3, 14 and 15. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. Yet so by what? Fire. Same thing happened in Galatians 3, verse 1. Open Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched thee that you should not obey the truth, because whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you, this only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the what? Works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Have you begun where? In the Spirit. Are you now made perfect by the what? By the flesh. So that's the point. That's flesh. That's man's will again. But was God's will. So please, same simplicity with which we started is how you keep walking. It's the same simplicity with which you started. That's how you keep walking. Same simplicity with which you started. That is how you keep walking. Same simplicity. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Same simplicity with which you started. Are you there? Yeah, attend to your people. Okay, Ephesians 4 verse 1. 1 to be, let's read, yes. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the Lord. Again, come on, yes. Hallelujah. You walk worthy. You walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have called. You walk worthy. See Colossians 2, 6. Colossians says it's better. So we are to keep walking as we started. How did we start? By faith, by trusting God. How should we continue? Faith, trusting in God. How did we start? By faith, we trusted in God. How do we continue? Faith, trusting in God. That is the same way we started, that we continue. Faith, trusting in God. How do we continue? Faith, trusting in God. Verse Colossians 2, 6. Want to go? Yes? Colossians 2, 6 now. As you receive Christ, walk in Him. Amen, amen. So how should you walk in Him?
How should you walk in him? How did you receive him? So how will you walk? Hallelujah. How do you start? By trusting in Christ, right? How do you continue? So what happens to the man that refuses to continue him that way?
Death.
Death in spiritual growth. Death in ministry.
See, verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. See that? In the faith, as you have been taught.
That's awesome.
God expects every believer to be taught. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Say faith.
Of course, you have to remember, faith is trusting in God's word, faithfulness. Remember?
Do you remember last week? What is faith? Faith is to trust God's faithfulness, okay? When we say God has faith, that means God is faithful. So, my own faith is to trust in God's word, faith. Say God is faithful. I trust in his faithfulness. So that has faith for me. That's the point. Again, your baby can stand there and just jump. What will they expect? Daddy will what? Catch me. Amen, amen. That's trusting in what? Daddy's faithfulness. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's the same faith. Trusting in God's. That's a Christian life. Say no confidence in the flesh. Say no confidence in the flesh. Now see verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. That is brothers and sisters of Eunice. Through philosophy and vain what? Vain what? Vain deceit. Philosophy, brain work, science, IQ, vain deceit. After the what? Tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Philosophy, IQ, brain swap is walking in the flesh. Verse 9. For in him, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. Say Christ is enough. Say in him dwells everything. Say the knowledge of Christ, as written in the scripture, is enough. And see verse 10, want to go? And you too, you are what? You are enough. Say I'm enough too. So he said you are complete. Are you with me? He's saying that Christ is enough. So therefore, because you have trusted the man that is enough, you are complete.
He didn't get that.
Because, okay, like the average young lady, now what is their problem?
If your problem is that they need money for markets, they need money for high slave, you know, you should know, even if your wife asks her money, she will still need your own money for what? She will still need your money to, you know, until your own enters her pocket. I know some people do not agree. I don't care. They're just lying. Well, they have not been there. No matter how much they have, you still must drop your own widow's mind to make it work. Praise God.
So imagine, the normal average young lady right now, their parents, they need money for everything. They need data. They need a good phone. Okay. So what happens if I think it's Mark Zuckerberg still single? If you don't marry Mark Zuckerberg,
oh God. Oh God.
So at least let's assume he's not married. If you married him, I mean he has data, right? That is not even sufficient. That is unlimited, right? He has unlimited data, he will give you a whole server. You mean you like Facebook, don't worry. He will give you a whole bank of server. Come on, server all your life there. So that means you have married somebody that is full, so you are what? Complete. Amen. Oh, Baron. That's not what I'm. You have married a man that is full, so you are what? Complete. Amen. Amen. So that means you are not complete because of yourself. You are married because you are alone to go, right? You may not get that. So you got involved in someone that is complete. Say, God has settled me. Perfect you, settle you, finish you. First Peter 5 verse. How people misquote it. But did you get me, everybody? So why are you complete in verse 10? Because in him dwells all the what? Fullness of God. Think about that. Think like that. That's what I'm saying. Because I went into all this kind of voila to teach you. Say, because Christ is full, I am complete. Thank you. Which is the head of all principalities and power. Philippians 3. Let's finish this in 30 minutes. Philippians 3 verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is saved. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. Imagine, concision is like the circumcision. It's talking about those who condition God's grace. Those who use man's tradition to estimate God, to estimate and limit God's love. Those who condition God's grace. Those who use man's tradition to estimate and limit God's love. That's concision there. They use man's tradition to estimate and to condition, to limit God's love. Bible calls them dogs. So we have to beware of dogs in the Bible. Bible calls them dogs. Beware of dogs. Evil workers, concision. They use what? They use man's tradition to estimate and limit God's love. Bible calls them dogs. Okay, thank you. Verse 3. Let's read verse 3. 1, 2, go. Yes, sir. Yes. For we are the circumcision. Praise God. We worship God. We are in the spirit and rejoice in Christ. And we have no confidence. Say no confidence in the flesh.
No,
say no confidence in man's reasoning.
No,
that's the point. Please, this is key in understanding utterance gift. Because you know, many today, they use guesswork as utterance. I think utterance is guesswork. Because you know, because a lady is wearing trousers, you just assume she's an alert, you will now be giving utterance along that line. That place you used to go, don't be going again. What if you used to come to church? I said that place you used to go. Imagine talking to Vietnam. The place you always sleep every day. Don't do it again.
Yeah, you just say, prophet, Abba, are you sure? Are you sure it's God?
Say no confidence in the flesh. Say no confidence in human calculation. Say in the place of utterance, I trust God's spirit.
I trust God's spirit. Yes.
That's it. See verse 7. But what things? See that? What is again to me? Those I counted loss. Okay? For Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dungs, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith, righteousness which is of God by faith. So he did all this so that I may know him. It's not saying that I will know him in the future. This is not futuristic statement. It's actually past, okay? It's just like saying, why I left Port Harcourt to be for Ibadan is so that I can marry him. Simple. That's the same thing. Sorry. That's the same thing Paul is saying here, okay? So I did this so that, are you getting me? If I've used my wife everything for example, and you don't get it, you know you are going to, hope you know you are going to hell, right? So you get it. So he's saying, I did this so that for this purpose. So he's not saying, see Paul. Paul, is he trying to know him? Believers, when are we going to know him?
Say, God is mysterious. God is mysterious to me. They will remove the nuts.
So he said, I left this my intellectual way so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So he had to let go of all those so that he might know God. See, a man that is not ready to let go of his status, mental calculation, mental reasoning, he will not know God. He will not. He will not know. You cannot get better in anything. IQ. People now call it, say they are discerning. I am discerning. It's discernment. Okay, back to Romans 8 right now. So do you understand verse 13 right now? Romans 8, 13. Go back to Romans 8, 13. Romans 8, 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So, write this down. God works in us to kill the flesh. God works in us to kill the flesh. God works in us to kill the flesh. To kill the flesh.
hope you know as you are giving yourself to God's word, to God's word like this, you are putting to death deeds of the flesh. Hope you know. Eh? You are so that's your own way that we are taking you to perdition. You are killing it. I mean, perdition in ministry. You are killing it. So God works in us to kill the flesh. So get that one. So flesh there is not talking about to kill people. Okay, praise God. So kill what? To kill man's will. Those man's will that will take you away from God's will, to kill it. So, because you are already in the Spirit. See verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what happened? They are. Say they are. Say I am. Yes, yeah, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself, himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. Let me make it big. Can I dash away 5K? Who can explain that we suffer with him? You open your mouth after 5K. You forgot the question. Who can explain? How do you suffer with him in this place? Okay. Your answer is ministry. Awesome. Yes. Ministry. As your answer. Yes. The spirit what? Yeah, spirit. See the question. Get it right. How do he say if we suffer with him, okay, that we may also be glorified together? How do we suffer with him in this place? Is that John? Eh? Following his will. Yes. But verse 17 has changed gear already. Yes. Someone from this side. Eh? He's destroying man's will. I said it has changed. Someone say Parakletos. You almost got it. Just read the verses after. For the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the what? Sons of God. So because Jesus shared our mortality, we are now going to be glorified together. Are you with me? So how do we suffer with him? The same way we have his physical flesh, mortal flesh, he too had the what? Mortal flesh. Parakletos. I didn't mean your car. I didn't. Hallelujah. He didn't get it, but he's nearer, so he got it. Huh? Mortality. That's the closest. Glory, glory. So claim your gift from OTP. Amen. Okay, it's tonight. Let's be fast. So saying, giving utterance, I trust God alone. Please, of course, write that down, okay? To suffer with him there means to share in his humanity. Yes, I know his identification. Incarnation. You didn't say it like... No, he can become a man, he become an angel man. Amen, amen. So share in his humanity, okay? So some people can tell you that, guys, until you suffer for Christ, if you don't suffer, you are not going anywhere. Then my dad, oh, damn, I have suffered with him. Praise God. Yay! Hallelujah. He came as us. Amen. That is Hebrews 2 for you right now, Abby. For as much as his children are what partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself partake of the same, that through death he might what? Destroy him that had the power of death. Amen, amen. Okay, so you 1 Corinthians 14 now, verse 1. So our utterance, so in giving utterance, I trust God alone. I will continue on flesh a bit tomorrow. In giving utterance, I trust God alone. No brains work, no philosophy. And also, our utterance follows God's will. It follows God's will. Meaning, our utterance will be against man's will. It will be against the flesh. It will be against man's will. It will be against the flesh. It will not be like you plan.
That is why we have correction in 2 Timothy 3:16. Correction. It will not be after the flesh. Flesh meaning what? Man's will, okay? It will not be after the flesh. Don't expect us. Some people will come to church and will be expecting us to prophesy solely about their business. Where should we get that from? Who teaches us that? That, yes, yes, Papa, see into my business. Let the money increase. No. That's why we have said that prophecy is edification, exhortation, comfort in God's will. Not just any edification. No, I've said this countless times right now. I said, for instance, hope you know that you cannot successfully preach monogamy in the Bible outside ministry. I've said it before. You cannot use this Bible to defend monogamy without talking about ministry. But once you now drop the urgency and sacredness of ministry, in fact, the monogamy will be, that's the point. So the Bible, you cannot just use the Bible to do anything. In fact, that's why 1 Corinthians 7 says some people even can become Enochs for the kingdom's sake. So ministry is that serious. Praise God. So that means to explain anything. How do I explain my career in the Bible? Only in ministry. You now know the career to pick. So that means if you want to do career talk, and you now pick Bible. So the career talk, you want them to be jobless. Are you getting me? I'm serious. You cannot pick this Bible to retain money. You don't know? I know you don't like that, right? You cannot read this Bible for the money you account to increase. It will reduce. You don't know? You will spend and be spent. You're not going to work for more. As money is coming, what is happening? You are giving. The Bible teaches you to be a giver, not an undertaker. That's the perimeter. I'm not saying it's not my fault. So it's just the perimeter. But by the time, because again, as you are studying the Bible, before you say Jesus is Lord, you just remember 2 Timothy 3:16 is for salvation through what? Faith in Christ. That means my career must follow what? Salvation through faith in Christ. That means my career must allow for the ministry of salvation through faith in Christ. My marriage must what? Allow for salvation through faith in Christ. My what else? Everything. My ZEM, everything, it must allow for salvation through faith in Christ. Praise God. Are you getting this? Okay, so 1 Corinthians 14. So our utterance will be against man's will. It's normal. It's not for you to hear words in church and you are hungry for the ministry. It's normal. That is how it's meant to be. That is how it's meant to be. There are anticipated response from utterance in church. You get utterance, you go home, you pray all night. That is a response. You get utterance, you go home, you fast. That's a response. You get utterance, you run to a village to go and preach. That's a response. Why? Professing the church is after God's will. Now, some ridiculous people now ask me that, why? So, are you sure? Are you saying making money is not God's will? What I am saying is, what shall it profit a man if he what? Gains the whole world. And what? Lost his soul. That's what I'm saying. Praise God. Say prophecy arranges our life. So 14 verse 1, follow after charity and desire spirituals, but rather you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him, albeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse 3, 1 to go, yes, sirs. He that prophesies speaketh unto men to what? Edification. And what? And what? Comfort. Amen, amen. So in edification, there will be a building up, right? Come on. 15 minutes, are we done? In edification, there will be a building up, right? Are you with me? There will be a building up. So God will not build his will upon foundations of the flesh. God will not build his will upon foundations of the flesh. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. It cannot. He cannot build his will upon foundations of the flesh. Quickly look at Matthew 9:16. No man putteth a piece of new clothes unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it is take it up from the garment, and the rent is made worse. 17. Now do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wines runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. See how Luke puts the same thing. Luke 5:36. The first, write this down. Luke 5:36. And he spake unto them, a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of new garments upon a old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh the rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not. See that? It agree not. Wow. It agree not with the old. It agree not with the old. That means, I'm coming. 37. And no man putteth a new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But the new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. 39. No man also having drunk old wine straight away desire new, for he said the old is better. So write this down. There is always a remover before planting. That's the point. There is always a remover before planting. This also happens in prophecy. This also happens in prophecy. There's a remover before planting. A remover before planting. The old must go for the new to come. The old must go for the new to stay. The old must go for the new to stay. The old must go for the new to stay. Remover before planting. Or else the new will not agree with the old. It cannot stay. It cannot stay. So that is why in prophecy we also rearrange your priorities. See chapter 5:7, 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unclean. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Purge out. He's talking about separation from that bad conduct, which is idolatry in this chapter. Which is idolatry. Separation from that bad conduct, which also involve bad company. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Separation from bad conduct. Purge out so that you can be new. Correct that conduct amiss you so that you can be new. Correct, because you are already made new in salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Because you have been made new in God, therefore, you purge out the old. You purge it out. In prophecy, we purge it out. We purge it out. Jeremiah 1:10. Well done. In prophecy, you purge it out. Jeremiah 1:10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, then to build and to plant. Remember that? To pull down, to destroy, to throw down, then to build and to plant. That's Jeremiah 1:10. To throw down, to pull down, to destroy, to then to build and to plant. So that means there are things that God will seek to pull down. To pull down. To pull down in prophecy, in utterance. At times it can come like a correction, like a reproof. It will come that way. For God to build you up, things must be removed. And at times, please, prophets, which all of you are, we are all getting better in, don't be ashamed, or don't shy away from uprooting, from pulling out, from destroying some foundations in the life of men. Man's will, of course, is as revealed by the Spirit. You root it out so that the new may stay. Are you with me? You pull out the old so that the new can stay. Because the new will not agree. It will not agree. Well done. Things like greed. Things like covetousness. Like greed. pull it out. These are things that I model to my ministers. I teach them. Greed, covetousness. Whether it's greed in food or greed in anything. I know. I dream my own ministers. They know. You can't be. The Christian life is, I am hungry. Blood is hungry. The last card in my pocket, it belongs to her, not to me. That's the Christian life. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the Christian life. Amen, amen. But God gave us his last card. In fact, his only card. And we model it. So things like, write it down, covetousness, greed, selfishness, seditions, clamor, all those I am always right mindset. Of entitlement mindset, unthankful. All these things I drill ministers in. You cannot be around me and you're unthankful. No. As long as someone is not tired of helping you, you must not be tired of saying thank you. You must not be. You must not be. Once we model the same thing to others. Say we are believers. We are a thankful generation. See 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. 3 verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. We are a thankful generation. Please be fast. This, know also, please don't miss any of those things. So, covetousness, greed, selfishness, seditions, clamor, the always right mindset, entitlement mindset, unthankful. God pulls all these things off from us. This is they destroy God's work more than anything else you can think of. 3 verse 1. This, know also that in the last day, perilous times shall come for men. Verse 2. Help me, yes. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to prayer, unthankful, unholy. See that? Unthankful. Unthankful. Unthankful in the Greek, it means ungracious, unpleasing. It's acharistos. A then charistos. A-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-O-S. A-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-O-S. Acharistos. Pastor Jack can just explain acharistos in context question. It means ungracious, unpleasing. You have people that nothing pleases them. And that we say that the only thing that pleases on people is just death. If you just die, that's all that pleases on people. Unpleasing. Nothing pleases them. If you are too correct, it does not please them. If you are, oh God, they find fault in every favor. Find fault. Oh, there must be a fault in this favor. You're looking for it. There must be a ulterior motive to you brought something for me today. What are you looking for? That is sin. I'm gonna check. That be checking. I think it's relax. They find a fault in every favor. It's always not enough. See, that's not me. See, verse 3, without natural affection. That means some people just, you can, lie. You cannot stay in my house. Not just my house. I'm my neighbor in the next house. And you are, my dog will wake you up. How do you know my dog? Always what? Always joyful. Praise God. Be like that. Imagine saying, be like a dog. Serious personification. Always joyful. How do you call a believer? Divine, what is it now? I'm fine, sir. Me, as you are doing like that, I'm having heart attack. I've thought of even now, what have I said today? Is it my preaching? Hey, God, have you just saved me? You just travel and just go. What is all this now? That's it. You're wearing long face. I will be ready. You're not ready. Amen. You're not ready. I've not seen before that. Those who frown, you know, I'll show you one misguided interpretation. Thank you. Almost there. So, traitors, we are in traitors, Eddie, I'm the lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, see, that's not me. Titus 1 verse 5. Also, we have those who just use some undue generalization. Don't do that. Don't do that. Not even know that. Because one person did something, everybody is what? Everybody is black. Don't do that.
See, and for this cause I left it, Titus 1 verse 5, for this cause I left it, thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in other things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. And if any be blameless, husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of what? Hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, can control himself, his appetite, a lover of hospitality, somebody that values to take care of people. Someone that values to take care of people, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially there of his circumcision, whose mouth must be what stopped, who subvert all houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them said, even a prophet said, the Christians are always what? Liars, evil beasts, slow beasts, just like evil people, all of them, they are. These. All Igbo, they do people. They're not serious. They're not serious. Hope you know your tribe. Hope you know you have your own too. You know you have your own. Anybody from Edo State, they are you. You're not serious. Undue generation. Don't do that. Say, I'm a man of God. Say, neither male or female. Say, no tribe here. Amen, amen. Okay, 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. See that? That turn from the truth. Galatians 5. After this one more scripture. Galatians 5, verse 22. All this must be dealt with before you are inducted to the office of a prophet. No, there must be there should be an induction. Selah. We'll get there later. Okay, see Galatians 5:22. Come on, are you there, guys? Let's read 22 to 24 non-stop. Galatians 5:22 to 24. One, two, go, yes. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. Amen, amen. 24 again, one to go. And they that are in the Christ crucify the flesh with the affection and lusts. So, in walking in the Spirit, we see a destruction of the works of the flesh. Please write that. In walking in the Spirit, we see a destruction of the works of the flesh. 25. Now, see what I have been explaining for you since so in Romans chapter 8. I said, in walking in the Spirit, you see a destruction of the works of the flesh. That's what he's saying. They that are Christ, they have crucified the what? The flesh with the affections and what? And the lust. Say crucified. That means to put to death. Now, 25, 1, 2, go. If we live in the Spirit, let us see this way. Since we exist by the Spirit, that's living by the Spirit. That's the first phrase there. Since we exist by the Spirit, let us conduct our life in the Spirit. And how do you conduct your life in the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Get that? Good. So that's what he's saying. That's the same. So that means a believer that is not walking in love, peace, joy, long suffering, gentleness, etc. in ministry is going to encounter death. He's going to encounter death in ministry. Death. In ministry, not physical death, not in ministry. That means you will be unproductive. Now, what's the meaning of death? For something not to work, not to grow, right? Are you with me? Yeah. What ought to grow will not grow. After 10 years in the faith, how many disciples? Half. Amen, amen. Half, because my right, you have pushed all of them away. I'm angry, you have chased everybody away. So you can see death as being unproductive. Okay? Unproductive. That is what is called their works we burn. So, and 26, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Can you see that? See, read 26 to your neighbor. Read 26 to your neighbor. Come on. Let us not desire of vain glory,
provoking one another, envying. So please, okay, now, about closing, 1 Corinthians 12 now. So in relating all this to utterance gift, you must remember.
I want to give a class work here, but okay, I'll postpone it to tomorrow.
One major trait of the flesh is selfishness.
No, I ought to do it.
Okay. See everything I've talked about since. I've talked about God's will, man's will. Who can, let me just have three people. Somebody should help me to relate this to prophecy, to utterance gift. Three people. Just think. Take your time. Think. Construct it. How do we model everything we have said in utterance gift? Means that you talk by force. Abraham, you talk by force.
Yeah.
Yes. Who is going first? Who can help me to model all this? Sacrifice, you will talk by force. Ma, you will talk by force. So, yes, I need more people. Who can help me to model all this in utterance gifts? Everything we have learned right now. How do I apply all this in prophecy? Yes? Who wants to go first? Whatever, are you ready? Awesome. Go. Rasam, you want to speak?
You must speak.
Go. Come on. Almost.
See everything, relating them, tying them up together, and then seeing them, first Corinthians 14, 1 to 4. We see specifically that, okay, verse 3, that will prophesy, speak to education and education and comfort to men. All of those vices in the pastoral epistles, there are things that I talk about, there are things of self, there are behaviors and attitudes of self.
Yes.
What chance gives does not focus on self. It seeks to make others better. It focuses on the other person, make that person better, diminish it.
Awesome. Glory to God. Yes, next. Go.
In summary, we are relating all we have learned today to utterance gifts and prophecy. We do not withhold prophecy from our brethren, because we understand that our prophecy is to make them better. So we do not, because of maybe grievances or personal issues that we have had with them, withhold prophecy or refuse to receive for them. And in our reception for them, we do not allow things that we have seen and known about them to color our prophecy or our utterance. We seek to make them better. We put our differences aside so that we can edify one another.
Awesome. Please, who can explain, how can I refuse to receive for somebody? How? Feel free. Yeah? Offenses? Yeah. End that way. Sir? Dishonor? Yes. Familiarity? Yes. See what she said. Say you don't receive. Hope you know, for instance, if you put yourself in a place where God cannot speak to you, you have refused to receive your neighbor. Right? If I put myself in an emotion, disposition, where God cannot speak to me. For instance, you can tell me such type of position. When you're moody, yes, and that one. The main one I discussed today. Wrong company, not really, yes, but, uncontrolled thinking, yes, that's the only issue you have dealt with it. Any other one? Condemnation now. I mentioned condemnation. Give us grace. Yes. Yes. But come on. Don't do your eyes like pelican.
Okay. In giving and receiving prophecy, it must also be sound word. When you receive and you don't know how to relate it to the other partner, it affects what you're about to say. So it must be sound word in giving and receiving prophecy. Must also be wise in related to that wisdom, because there are some things you get and you have to, like you said, say it in form of comfort or exhortation or rebuke. So that's it.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Thank you. So one major trait of the flesh is selfishness. I've been warning and correcting all my ministers, especially of this. Selfishness. It's one major trait of the flesh. Selfishness. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gift, brethren, I will not have your ignorance. You know that you are Gentiles carried away onto this dump idols, even as you are led. No, that means don't assume, okay? Because people have wrong foundation.
So now we know that we don't do God's work with the flesh. We don't put new wine in old bottles, okay? We don't use old calculation and mindset. We don't use all that for God's work. But as soon as wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus what? Accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, now there are diversity of gifts of the same Spirit, differences of administration but the same Lord, diversity of operations but the same God which worketh all in all. But.
Say but.
No, that is the trigger of that statement, okay? He's saying, although you see differences in offices and activities, he's saying, although you see differences in offices and activities, don't forget what I'm about to say. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for his profit. To profit with all for his profit. So it's saying, although you are seeing differences in everything, don't forget that it's intended to profit your audience. That's the point. But Abraham nailed that point. The aim of all these things is to profit people. If you are correcting men, it's for their profit. It's not just to vex out your grievances. It's to profit people. Which will be in tandem with the entire body of 1 Corinthians. Love. Love is the subject of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's saying the manifestation of the Spirit is given to people for their profit, not for your profit. Not for the profit of the speaker, but for the profit of what? Of who? Of the receiver. For their profit. So, to profit others in the things of God, you must wage war. As a minister, you must wage war against self. You must wage war against self. You must be soaked in God's will. You must be soaked in God's mind. Salvation and His ministry. Of course, this covers both the giving and the receiving. But today I'm talking more about the giving. For instance, dishonor will be walking in the flesh. When you give word and you are dancing and asunto, that is like you are disdaining. What are you feeling? No. Don't dishonor your audience. So, well, the profit of that ministry must be found with your audience, not in your pockets. The profit of that prophecy must not make you rich, man of God. The profit of the ministry, where must it be? Audience, not the speaker. Not in your pocket. So when charisma describes the activities of the Spirit, it implies a benevolence. Okay, when you're done writing, play for us.
When charisma describes the activities of the Spirit, it implies a benevolence whose profit stays fully with the recipient. Stays fully. Not necessarily something that you have that does not leave you. That's the way people see charisma before. No, it's not talking about what you have that does not leave you. It's talking about a benevolence whose profit stays fully where? With the recipient. It is the Spirit of God that you have that does not leave you. That is the gift of God to you. See that? Gift of God to. So please, anytime you are seeing gift, the profit must be with the toe. The profit must be with the toe. A gift is not a gift until it gets to the recipient. So the profit of the gift must be with the toe, with the man to whom it is given. Are you getting this? So that means in the place of prophecy, who is of more value? Is it the prophesier or the man that is being prophesied to? Who should live more edified? You or him? Amen. So, is the Spirit that you are? Because, see that way. The same way God gave us His Spirit without condition, right? So, that means the Spirit Himself, the Spirit of God, came from God to us. And because it's from God to us, where is the benefit? Is it with God or with us? With us, Abby? So, that's why He does not live, right? Same way, when we walk by the gift of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit is from one to one, right? From one to one. So, where is the benefit? the one, right? Not myself, okay? That means at the end of the day, who the prophecy will make better in the things of God, make better in everything, is the audience. Not that you, because if you are a prophet, you are not a billionaire. You are, your work is dead. You are dead. You are dead. You are dead. You are carnally minded. That's man's calculation. Praise God. See, things I'm teaching right now, they are like the rudiments, foundations, so that when you are operating, you will get it. You will know your perimeters. You will know what to do. You will know when to stop. You know when to caution your people. You are not laying on hands is not to show that you have power. That thing has plagued plenty so-called Pentecostals. And that's why we don't really see results in the move of God. No compassion. No compassion. Compassion would mean that you want this man to be healed. But ego will say what? I want him to fall. Or I just want to show. That is ego. All your companion say, you saw a sick man. Oh, today you're going to be healed. Come, you're going to be healed. You're going to be healed. You pray first time, come back again. I say you're going to be healed. They're not trying to fill up PR notes, okay? It's not to fill up PR notes. It's not to just tick that 6 healed, 10 healed. No. So you just tick, no. It's to heal a man. It's to do a man good. Amen, amen. Praise God. That's in utterance. Which we have said right now, in utterance, we you seek to be deep, ready, or to be plain? To be plain. Why? The good must be where? On the recipients. Yesterday, I don't remember when we were talking about all just your Jim prophets, right? Potter CTC. You lead a meeting. Say, how is that meeting? Wow. Awesome. What do you understand in that meeting? Yeah? Understand? Okay. Nothing. But the man was great. He was just showing us dimensions. So where is the profit of that ministry? It's with him. Not with you. Not with you. Amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. So that is how we operate. Profit. Profit. Recipient. Not to buga. Not to show that you have it. So something you give for the benefit of your audience. Not for your pocket, not for your ego. So in this church, we have learned this and we are still learning this, okay? We have learned this and we are still learning this. Say, I have the Spirit of God. Come on, say, I have the Spirit of God. Say, I have the workings of the Spirit of God. Or say, God's Spirit walks through me for the benefit of others. Come on, say, God's Spirit walks through me for the benefit of others. Say, in the usage of the things of the Spirit, I walk in love. In the usage of the things of the Spirit, I walk in love. I make others better. I make others better. Hallelujah. I think I saw one of Reverend Gosa's things on Facebook. He said, walking in love will never be wrong. Hallelujah. Say, in this world, or in there, say, walking in, there is no day that walking in love will ever be wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, I'm never wrong in love. See, I'm never wrong in love. See, I'm never wrong in patience. I'm never wrong in long suffering. I'm never wrong in joy. Hallelujah. Be upstanding. Let us pray a bit before you go. Thank you. Sorry for taking your time today. Come on. Be upstanding. Yeah, if you can just go down to just one person, just go down and just pray generally, just pray. Prophets stays with the man you are praying for. The prophet stays with the man you are praying for. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, find a word for that man beside you. Find a word for him. Just a quick word. Find a word for him. Find a word for him. You can find it. Just focus on him and God will just speak to him by you. Yada Baloro Sogo Vash Temalia take a birate last abate. I make others better. And the Orosa speak and tell us over time. Come on, speak. Just briefly, just speak. Lirantis to go be that, to go be that, Shatamalia, Zantalanda.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of others. It's for the profit of others. This is Jesus' Christianity. In Jesus' Christianity, we don't enrich ourselves. We make others better. We make others better. In Jesus' Christianity, we make others better. I make others better. Kabbalah, Bronte, Laza, Lamani, Oros, Deva. I am Nananano, Stokavane, Yali, Rosovale, Manavada, Zeke, Bielan, Protonada.